Pharaoh succeeded. He brought the children of Israel into a state of slavery. The opening of Parashat Vayera focuses on one particular consequence of this, the loss of the ability to listen. Parashat Vayera begins with God speaking to Moshe. I am God. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am God, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rescue you from their labor. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people, and I will bring you into the land. Yet when Moshe conveys God's words to the Israelites, their response is not encouragement or renewed hope, but an inability to listen. They did not listen to Moshe because of shortness of spirit and hard labor. These words describe the reality in which Israel finds itself, their inner world, their state of mind, and the narrowing of their human capacity. The phrase has been understood in different ways, and commentators offer various interpretations of the meaning of the words shortness of spirit and hard labor. I will discuss three of them. The reality of slavery leaves a person with no inner space, no moments of respite, no breathing room, physically or metaphorically. There is no time or energy to listen, no capacity to give attention to anything beyond the exhausting reality of servitude. The Malbim claims that the combination of hard labor and shortness of spirit renders the enslaved people incapable of listening. One who is short-spirited but not burdened with hard labor, or one who bears hard labor but is long-spirited, can restrain grief and incline the ear toward comfort and good news. But they suffered from hard labor, and their crushed spirit was too overwhelmed. Therefore, Moshe's words did not enter their ears. The Ramban explains the mechanism of this inability to listen as the result of the Egyptians' cruel supervision of Israel's labor. And hard labor refers to the pressure exerted by the taskmasters, who were constantly driving them and would not allow them to hear a word or reflect upon it. In this reading, slavery produces a reality in which it is difficult, if not impossible, for its victim to listen. The next camp of interpretations focuses less on the physical conditions preventing listening, but the psychological. For example, the Chizkuni explains their lack of listening as a result of fear. In the Chizkuni's view, their lack of listening is not a failure of attention, but a paralysis, cognitive and existential, born of fear. Rabbeinu Bechaye adds a deeply sensitive dimension to the psychological state of the Israelites. The enslaved people had not lost their faith. Rather, their suffering gave rise to a longing for death, and it was against this backdrop that they could not hear Moshe's words. As he writes, they did not listen to Moshe, not because they did not trust God or Moshe his servant, but because of shortness of spirit and hard labor, like a person who longs to die in the midst of his suffering and despises his own life. On the one hand, fear, on the other, a desire for death. Together, these bring a person to a state in which they cannot hear, and perhaps even to a point of refusing to hear. A third line of interpretation focuses not on their physical or psychological condition, but their relationship with time. When Moshe speaks to Israel, he presents them with a vision not only that God will take Israel out of slavery, but that God will make them God's people and bring them into the land of Israel. Shmot Rabbah sharpens and clarifies this vision. I will bring you into the land which I raised my hand to give. I will fulfill for them what I promised their ancestors, that I would give them the land. The picture Moshe paints is not merely one of an end to the present suffering, but of a new way of life, fundamentally different and entirely transformed. Yet the enslaved Israelites are unable to hear such a broad vision. As slaves, they are confined to the present moment, to the immediate reality, and nothing more. They may be able to hope that the slavery will end, but to imagine a wholly new and different reality, that is overwhelming. And so, slavery produces a state of they did not listen. It is a form of labor that trains a person to see and hear only the work itself, to experience it as the total reality, with no alternative and no possibility of reaching anything beyond it. It creates a consciousness of an endless present, without exit or horizon. Slaves lack the patience to hear about the possibility of another reality, or perhaps they lack the capacity. They are in a state of fear, fear of death, or fear that the present, unbearable reality is endless. They cannot hear that things could be different. The parasha teaches us that if we encounter people who can't hear, people who seem to have stopped hoping for change, who from shortness of spirit no longer find the energy of body and soul to dream of a different reality, to dream of liberation, then there may be an element of slavery in their lives. It is worth asking whether there is something we are doing that contributes to placing them in such a reality, and in any case working towards their liberation. And this has relevance to us as well. The reality many of us live today, a reality of pressure, burnout, and anxiety, can similarly lead to numbness, despair, and the abandonment of hope and the dream of change. In light of the verses of Parashat Vayera, such a condition can be understood as a form of slavery. The Torah urges us to shake off the numbness and the collapse of hope that accompany enslavement, and to become receptive once again and able to hear the possibility of change and to insist that things can be different. Shabbat Shalom.